sure we lift our heads as we lift our heads. One more time. Sure we lift our heads as we lift our hearts as we offer up this praise unto your name. Abide here, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are here to worship you. Worship in spirit and truth. Let our hearts be in tune as we
worship.
Somebody stand at the back, or do you come? Okay, all right. Whoever's helping, Brother Mike, are you standing back there? Okay. Brother Al, if you'd just pray for the offering here. Yes. Go ahead and just take your offerings to the back.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the full and His wonderful face, and the things of this world. Strangely dim.
I've always been technology challenged, even with a microphone. You can be seated. Tonight I want to thank you all for being here. And I'm glad the pastor and pastor's family can get away. They need to get restored and refreshed, recharged, and throw us in the fire like Tom and Brother Kellerman. So we get to get out of our comfort zone and stand up here and try to minister. And I'm not a licensed minister. Never got my license. I don't claim to be a minister, but I want to minister something. Hopefully, even if you just quoted God's word, hopefully that would minister to you. But tonight I want to talk a little bit about prayer. Greg's handing out a prayer wheel. If you've been in Pentecost any time at all, you've probably seen a prayer wheel. And this is not in any way, shape, or form trying to add to or take away anything from prayer that Brother Wells has been teaching, but maybe help us and remind us to give us something, a little guide to help us in our prayer life. If you haven't already used it in the past, it's just a good reference, reminder, with skill, scripture that's been given to give us an outline for prayer. But I'd like to read a couple different scriptures before we get into these scriptures. And the reason I had them, hand them out to you, because I'm going to ask each of you, as we go down through the 19 scriptures, I don't know if there's 19 people or more, somebody may get to read twice, and somebody may get out of reading, but I want to go through the audience and through the congregation and let each of us read a portion of the scripture from the prayer wheel. But I'd like to begin by reading something from Daniel, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 4. It said, in the first year of Darius, the son of Achaeus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the numbers of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Daniel said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and the mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Daniel was said to have prayed 3 times a day. I struggle with once a day sometimes. And I'd like to read another scripture also. In Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 21 and 26 through 26. It says, this I recall to my mind, thereof have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because of his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And it is good that a man should both have hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I've told people before, I've always understood when God says yes, and I understand when he says no, but the waiting is the hard part. Between the time that you ask God something in prayer and the time that you see that the answer come to pass, that's that waiting span in between that I've always struggled with. I'd like to read one more scripture in Daniel, the 10th chapter. Daniel said, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And I thought about 3 full weeks, that's 21 days. This, I did a little research. This wasn't a total fast, but it was fasting from some foods that it was still considered a fast that Daniel did. And he was vigilant. He was disciplined enough to know that he, as Daniel, as a prophet, had to pray 3 times a day. He had to fast. He had to know the mind of God, and he had to seek God. I struggle with fasting once a week sometimes. But I know physically and spiritually, fasting is excellent, spiritually and physically, for our soul and for our body. Tonight, in this prayer wheel, my thought is, what does prayer do side show us God's will, gives us the revelation of what God wants us to understand and know in our lives. And prayer is also a time to set our heart toward God. Because the world would pull us so many different directions away from God if we allow it to. But prayer will realign. It's like taking your car in for getting a front end alignment. If you don't occasionally get realigned or set your wheel straight, your car is going to go off and it's going to go astray. And that's another thing that prayer does for us. It keeps us from going astray. It keeps us on the straight and narrow. It keeps us set on course with the Lord. Because the world would try to detour us. And we know that the cares of life, the things of the world, the Bible says, love not the world, nor the things that are of the world. All that is of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's the world. And the world passes away in lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That is what happens if we're not careful, if we're not staying in tune with the Lord. And prayer, to me, is probably one of the most vital things a Christian can do. Stay in tune with God, because without it, we're going to go off course very quickly and very easily. I know me as living for God for 38 years. I backslid for a while because I let up on my prayer. The Bible says little foxes spoil the vine. It's those little things that accumulate that if you allow them to, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, it could be any number of things that could detour you and take you away from what you should be doing in God, and knowing that he wants you to keep the course, stay the course. And I didn't always do that. So I've told people before, and I've said it before, I've spoken from every aspect a Christian can be, without God, with God, away from God and backsliding, and coming back to God. So there's people that I can speak to from experience to tell them, and I've said it before, you don't want to go there. And that's why prayer is so very, very important for all of us to stay in tune with God. So, let's begin. Who would like to be first? Greg, you get to go first. And then we're going to go zigzag back and forth across the pews till we get to, who's the last one? Sound guys. Okay, go ahead and stand up. Gregory, nice and loud. Psalm 22 and 3. And if you can figure out your math and see where you're going to be, we're going to read. He's going to read one, then the next scripture will be Hebrews, so there's two. And then there's the Hebrews 13 and 15. So there's three scriptures in praise. So one, two, three people. Self lined up. So we know that praise is very important. We've all lived and been around church long enough in the apostolic movement and our relationship that we enter into his courts with praise, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We know that praise is so vital because it keeps us thankful. It keeps us worshiping and knowing that he's the one that provides. Okay? Next verse. That would be Hebrews. I'm sorry, it would be Psalm 63 and 3. And because, you back up? Quick for me, there you go. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. I didn't always love life until I came to the Lord. Can anybody ever remember the first day, if you were an adult or even a teen, that you got the Holy Ghost and everything just looked like technicolor, brighter, cleaner, purer, better? Do you remember that? I can remember going outside in the sky and the clouds the very next day, and I was in awe. Everything just looked so much cleaner and purer and better, because having the Spirit of God reside within you, it changed your whole outlook and perspective on how important and beautiful life really was. And that was the beginning of my praise. I never praised God before that. My mom would teach me and tell me, you know, to be thankful, but I never understood what praise was all about. Okay. Next one. Hebrews 13 and 15. Sister Kelly. It's also a sacrifice. Praise is a sacrifice. You know, we come into church sometimes, we're tired, we're down, we don't feel so much like praising Him, but we do it anyway, don't we? Because we know it's what He expects, and I've walked into many a service in over 38 years of serving God down in the dumps, and by the time I left service, I felt lifted up. I felt better. I felt encouraged just being with God's people and God's presence. Okay, next one is forgiveness. Matthew 6, 14 through 15. Brother Bill. Amen. Thank you. Nothing, like it says here on the sheet, blocks your spiritual progress more than fatally than unforgiving spirit. I've seen people backslide over, they just couldn't find it in their heart to forgive somebody. And some things are pretty tough to forgive. I get that. I understand it. It says, forgiveness is a complete pouring out of any feeling that might develop against anyone during the day. And that's why it's so important. Sister Day reminded me and said it many times, clean heart, right spirit. And the world would try to muddy up the waters. The world would try to get you, like Brother Kaufhart, I think, used to say, stinking thinking. Right? And if you let that stay in your heart and not clear it out, the Bible says we're saved by the washing, the regeneration, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. If that is not flowing and forgiveness is not being pushed out of your life, that unforgiveness, we will fall in trouble. We fall prey. And that's exactly what the devil would have us to do. Next is confession. Psalms 139, 23, and 24. Would you like to comment on that? Confession. You know, it's like an alcoholic. You go to AA. I never did, but the Lord delivered me in 3 months from alcohol, drugs, and a lot of junk. It took months, but I never went to an AA class. I went to an altar. And altars work. When you pour your heart out to God and you confess your faults, the Bible says to one to another, you confess and repent to God. Repentance helps you to die out to and confess those things and receive forgiveness from the Lord and from maybe someone they've wronged. I had to go back and after I came to the Lord and apologize and talk to some folks, and that was kind of tough, confessing some things that I had done. I might have mentioned it before. I'd worked for a trucking company for a couple of years and stole a bunch of tools. Well, once I got saved, got the Holy Ghost, I gathered all those up. God convicted me of it. And He told me, you need to make restitution. Okay. So I gathered them up, put them all in a brown paper bag, took them back to Him, gave them back to Him, told Him and confessed what I had done. And I said, I stole these tools while I was employed here at your trucking company. And I think his jaw dropped and hit the desk. But at final result, I ended up getting a Search for Truth Bible study with that man. He was a man I went to high school with. Taught his wife, his children, and him a Search for Truth Bible study. Because I was willing to confess and be transparent. Confession clears the path so God can work in our lives. You know, we hold and hide things. Different men through the Bible tried to hide a wedge of gold or hide something from God, and you can't hide anything from God, so you might as well just confess it, forsake it, and move on. It says, rid yourself of sin, and you'll be clear of the road for a powerful prayer. We don't need things to hinder our prayer lives. And the devil, the world, our own flesh sometimes gets in the way and it hinders us. Petitions. James 4, 2, and 3. Christy? can ask with the wrong motives, the wrong intents, the wrong reasons. God, I think, will hear our prayers, but he's not responsible or obligated to answer when we retain sin in our life and we ask things for the wrong reasons, whether we want to consume it upon lust. And I prayed a lot of selfish prayers when I was a kid. God, give me this and I'll do that. Make a deal with God kind of thing. And as a child, that's what you kind of do. You know, you kind of get that in your mind. If you're a good boy, you get a reward. You get your allowance. You get a benefit. Well, then you carry that in. If you don't have any knowledge of God, you carry that into an adulthood. And you go, well, God, let's make a deal. You do this, I'll do that. And I learned soon that's not how God works. Praise the Lord. All right, Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Anybody? Christy, that's fine. Guide us to a closer, more powerful, better prayer life. I think we'll see greater things happen in our church. We'll see greater growth in ourselves and mature spiritually. I know me, when I don't grow spiritually, it's because I haven't prayed and I haven't read my Bible. I've let other things be my focus. Amen? So, intercession. I want to read the scripture. Psalm 126, if I can find it real quick. Psalms in the Old Testament, right? All right. Psalm 126 and verse 6. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Intercession is all about a burden. And a church without a burden is missing something. I can remember services in Aurora, and this is nothing to take away from our church here, where there was much weeping and anguish in intercessory prayer before church, during altar call, during service. And I believe that's the will of God. Because if we get the mentality of us four and no more, we get in a dangerous place. I think God wants, God, he doesn't necessarily just care about numbers, but he cares about soul, because a number is attached to a soul. So a burden in intercessory prayer, I think, is a part of our prayer life and should be a part of our prayer life. We all have lost families, loved ones, kids, neighbors, friends, whatever. There's much to pray about. Many souls to pray about, or we can stand idly by and let them go to hell. And I don't believe that's any of our desire, to stand by and just not intercede for them. Somebody's got to stand in the gap. Somebody stood in the gap for me. I think it was initially probably my mom and my grandmother. My dad wasn't a praying guy, but I did have a sister I probably mentioned before. Llewellyn was her name. She died at 16, but she loved God. So I always look back at my sister. She died in 1959. I was 8 years old, and I didn't really get to know her or don't remember her a lot, other than she had a sweet spirit, and she loved God, and she loved going to church. And my mom showed me her Bible, and guess what scripture was underlined in her Bible? Acts 2:38. She went to a Baptist church. Baptist, Presbyterian, I'm not sure what it was, but she loved the Lord. Why God took her at 16? Don't know. But I believe she probably prayed for me. Even an 8-year-old boy, how much prayer does an 8-year-old boy need? Ask any mom or dad. But I'm sure she prayed for me and my grandma and my mom. But when I came to God, there was a guy I went to high school with and grade school with. His name was Wayne. He's backslid now and away from God. But all through my life, he was the only true, solid, what I thought, knew of a true, solid Christian. So anytime I had any inclination to think about God, it seemed like we would cross paths. So at 29, God brought him into my life again in a Jewel parking lot. I'm loading groceries in my car. And I had been praying and wanting to get my life changed, and God brought him into my life again. So I believe maybe over the years, hopefully he was praying for me. So there's got to be somebody, and it might as well be us, to pray for those that are lost. The Lord's going to ask an account one day. Did you pray? Did you intercede? Did you have a burden? And when I stand before the Lord, I want to hear him say, well done. As if to say, you prayed, you had a burden, you interceded, you cared. You thought beyond, outside the box of just us four and no more. Matthew, also, or Timothy, let's see, we read Timothy, right? Matthew 9. Track? Okay, we read Matthew 9. Thank you.
Would you skip one?
There you go. Okay. Tom, thank you. Pray for President Trump, and we need to pray for President Trump because he's got a tough job. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle the stress and everything that he gets bombarded by on a daily basis. I don't know how he withstands it other than he's the, like Brother Davis, I think, said the other day, he's the man for the hour. God sets up, God sets down kings. So we need to pray for those in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Not get on Facebook and hear everybody bashing the president, and that's not peaceful. In all godliness and honesty. Amen. Now, Matthew 9:37. Jay? That's us. Amen. Nobody else is going to do it. It's the church's obligation, the church's job to go out into the harvest field, just like the farmer goes out, just like we were taught in RBD, harvest, gathering, you know, compelling. We are the only compelling force outside of God's Spirit in this world to compel people that they need to see their need of God. And Acts 1 and 8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses in Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. So, wherever we go in our daily travels, it's our obligation. You know, you can't, I used to think when I came to God, you know, kick the door open and dump the hayloft on them, so to speak. When you're a new Christian and you got a lot of zeal and you're a new convert, you don't have a lot of wisdom, but you want to tell the whole world, you want to tell them everything you know about God. But it takes time to get some wisdom to know when to speak and when not to speak about what God has given you and what he's doing in your life. But hopefully with discernment and lots and lots of prayer, we'll have that kind of discernment. We'll know Tom's had lots of opportunities, he's told me about, to witness on the job. And I believe if we have a burden, and we love souls, and we're caring, we're prayed up, and we have a discernment from God, we will know when to speak. I've had lots of opportunities to talk to co-workers. I've taught lots of Bible studies. You never know what's going to happen, but the Lord said, and it's been said here before, one man plants, one man waters, but God gives the increase. I may enter into somebody else's labor. They may enter into my labor and take up where I left off. We never know what God's doing behind the scenes, because we always want to see everything right now, what's going on face value, right here in front of us. But we never really know what God's doing behind the scenes, do we? So that's where we come in also. We pray that, Lord, you give the increase. I'll do my part. I know he'll do his part. Amen? All righty. Read the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. Like to comment on that? I know you're a preacher's pastor's wife, and I'm sure you've got something you could add to, not add to God's word, but said. Psalms. I'm going to hurry up because I want to give us a little bit of time to pray at the end. Psalm 19 and 9. Kira, you brave? Atta girl. Fear of the Lord is clean. It's also the beginning of wisdom, it said. Godly fear worketh righteousness. When you got a little bit of fear of God in you, and God gets your attention, you don't stay in that position serving out of fear, but it's a good starting point. Some people need a little godly fear to get them going. Alrighty, Psalms 19:9. Brother Day, you got one? Oh, 1:1. Brother Day, it's an easy one. Amen. We never want to stand in somebody's way and say the wrong thing. That's where prayer is so important. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So when we get the mind of Christ and we meditate upon God's word, sometimes I can't shut my brain off at nighttime. It's not always God's word, but when you're knowing you got to speak and hopefully say something to minister to somebody on a Wednesday night, the night before, I can't shut my brain off. I'm thinking and wanting to know the mind of the Lord and wanting to know what to say, what not to say on a Wednesday night. Hopefully to edify and encourage somebody and strengthen somebody and just lead us into a closer, stronger, better prayer life. So meditation is good, but you got to learn to turn the switch off sometimes. And I have a tough time doing that. Thanksgiving. Amen. Philippians 4 and 6. Somebody. He already knows before you ask, but he says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you shall find, knock, the door shall be opened. He says, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Yeah. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He can't answer a prayer you don't ask. Right? He can't answer something that you've not had a desire to see him fulfill in your life or someone else's life. So asking is a very important part. And thanksgiving is a very important part. Being thankful for what we ask, because we know in faith he's going to fulfill. Also, just special time and thanksgiving to God allowed for his provisions and goodness to us. We do that on Sunday mornings. Brother Wells has been talking about we come in on Sundays and we celebrate. And we do. We should. You know, even if I didn't get one answered prayer all week, I'm going to come. And I'm going to be thankful I made it through the week. And maybe next week I see the prayer answered. And next week or next month or next year. But I still got lots to be thankful for. Amen? Okay. Praying the word. What does that mean? Personally apply out loud the precepts of the Bible. You can stand upon, when you pray the word, you can stand upon. Because you're basically saying, Lord, this is what your word says. I'm standing upon your word. I'm going to declare this. And I'm going to believe that you can fulfill this because it's according to your word. Who's got this scripture? Is there a scripture there? No, there's no scripture there. Singing. There we go. Who wants to sing? That would be Mike, Angie, go ahead. Serve the Lord with gladness. Don't come in looking like you sucked on a lemon all day, even if you did. Come before his presence with singing. Who sings in the shower? Anybody? I shouldn't ask. We have lots to sing and rejoice about. You know, I used to whistle. I could always remember Andy and Mayberry, how he used to whistle that song all the time. How could he do that? Why was he always so happy? Because he lived a simple life, you know. Maybe he knew the Lord. I don't know if he did or not. But we should have a song in our heart. Today I was listening to a lot of music. And Sister Wells, all the musicians, I'm so thankful. We got awesome music, Sister Davis. We got drummers, we got keyboard players, we got piano players, we got singers. And it makes it easier to worship and to love. And I do appreciate the music in this church. I really, really do. Music was a big part of my life before I came to God, but I was just listening to the wrong stuff, so I had to change channels. Listening. 1 Kings 19. I think it's Jenna hiding behind Sister Davis. Skip one. Thank you. Go ahead, Jenna. And we're not supposed to talk to ourselves? I've read before, it said we're very intelligent people, talk to themselves all the time, so I must be really smart. But we speak to ourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in our heart to the Lord. We should. We've got lots to be happy about, lots to be thankful about. We should be singing to ourselves about how good God's been to us. Amen? Listening. I have a joke, but I won't say it. Listening. Who's got 1 Kings 19:11? Sister Pat. Come on, Pat. Imagine that, a still, small voice. God has never yelled at me, not once. He's a gentleman. He comes to you meek, and what does it say, lowly he came? He wasn't a big loudmouth. The only time I ever really saw him screaming probably was when he went into the temple and overturned the tables and kicked them out for doing the wrong stuff in God's house, right? But besides that, listening is like it's been said, God gave us one mouth and two ears, right? So he wants us to listen twice as much as he wants us to talk. That's an old joke, but I believe there's a lot of truth to that, you know? And I guess I will tell my joke. Women should be the best prayers on the planet. Do you know why? It's been said they speak much more, 10,000 words a day, and a man speaks 1,000, something like that. I'm not sure if that's even the exact statistic. But it comes natural for women to talk. So they should find it so easy to talk to God. Would you agree? No? Why not? Men, we're the guys that shut down and we get withdraw and step back. But women, man, they get in your face and it's like, I'm going to tell you. Oh, maybe that's just my wife. Maybe you other women aren't like that. No. But women, I think women, a lot of women are prayer warriors. And I would never negate the fact that I think women they discern and they're more sensitive about a lot of things, and they can pick up on things where men would never sense something. They're just sensitive. So they're not always quiet and meek. Some get loud, but they are good listeners. I have a very good wife that listens to me. I get on my rant sometimes about politics and stuff that upsets me and the things I see in the world. But she listens, and sometimes I think we get mad. We can talk to God, and we can vent. And sometimes it's better to vent than to gossip. Amen? So we vent to the Lord in our prayer. We don't have to gossip. We don't have to talk about anybody. We just tell him. And he'll accomplish the right thing through our venting. It'll get it off our chest and out of our heart, and he'll work through it. And hopefully, if it's something that's really legitimate, he'll take care of it. Amen? But we got to listen. Prayer is not all talking to God, but prayer is also listening to God. I've been waking up lately, and usually go to the bathroom in the middle of the night because I've gotten older, but waking up in the middle of the night, and I have to ask myself, Lord, is this because I just need to go to the washroom, or is this because there's something I need to pray about? And it seems more often lately I'll wake up and God will lay something or someone on my heart in the middle of the night. And it'll be someone here at church. It'll be a family member or a friend or somebody I just know. And I won't sit up for hours and hours and pray. But still, it doesn't hurt when God speaks to you. You know, I can remember when I first came to God, within the first week that I got the Holy Ghost, I was living in a friend, the guy that won me the Lord, his basement temporarily. I woke up out of a sound sleep, and I felt an attack from the devil. And I just got the Holy Ghost probably a week or so prior. I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but remember Jesus, when he was filled with the Spirit, went to the mountain and prayed, what happened? The devil came and tempted him. Immediately, as soon as you receive something from God, the devil wants to steal it. So out of a sound sleep, I had woke up and I had to rebuke the devil. And I told him, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And I rebuked him, and it was gone. And I just felt this blackness, this darkness. But the Bible says what? Draw nigh unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee, right? And I learned that lesson early on, that if you're going to walk with God, if you're not under attack sometimes, he's probably already got you. That's blunt, but so don't think it's strange that you have spiritual attacks sometimes. I don't know why I said all that, but anyway, praise. The last one, Matthew 6:13, goes to the sound man. Rachel, I'm going to give you one too. Go ahead. Amen. Amen. God doesn't lead us into temptation. We lead ourselves. If we look and linger at the wrong thing too long, we can get tempted. Sister Davis is going to come and sing. We're going to worship and hope she's got a good song. But I'd like to spend the last just couple minutes. You can stay in your pew, come to the altar, whatever you're comfortable. And let's just pray for our pastor, a safe return on Sunday or this weekend when they come back home. I miss them. I know you miss them. And hopefully they'll come back blessed and refreshed and be able to preach and teach us some more. Amen. Let's pray.
Steps.
serve a great God. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for each and every one of you that endured me tonight. And sometimes I just reminisce about 38 years of how good God's been to me. So many times I didn't deserve His goodness and His grace and His mercy. He's faithful. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.
Brother Grimm, does it go off first or that, or does it make any difference?